Monthly Regular Meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, March the 11th to order. Stand and have the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
You requested one, Steve. There should be a corrected agenda in your packet, adding the commercial use of the boat ramps.
Yeah, so in our packet.
Well, it was added extra to the box.
So that would be then D?
First reading.
First reading C. Okay, are there any other additions or corrections?
We don't want to talk about AWAS, any of that.
Next meeting, Bill's going to give us a briefing.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the corrected agenda?
I'll make a motion. I'll second it.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay, consent agenda. I move we approve the consent agenda.
And I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, public comments not related to the agenda. No takers? All right, we'll move right into the agenda. The second reading, Team Jefferson EDC contract and scope of services.
It is the second reading. We heard from Peter this morning. The contract is in the packet with the, it's essentially a boilerplate from last year with the required language from the RCW on what the ADO or Team Jefferson in this case has to report, not just us, but to the county as well, any government that's funding, providing funds. We did add to the scope of work though, and I mentioned it last time, Brad, you're under task three, item five, working with the port to analyze and describe the contribution made by the port's Point Hudson facility to the local economy and the potential financial and economic implication of a decision by the port to fund demolition and replacement of the Point Hudson jetty. So that's in there. Other than that, I really don't have anything else to add to it.
So does this address
the... It's in our budget already.
Right, yeah, I understand that. Does this address the reports, the time that we report with
Brad
this morning?
Yes, item six, outcomes and benchmarks.
Page 16.
Page 16. Yeah, we'll submit an annual quantitative information on outcomes to the port. And again, like I already said, other sponsoring jurisdictions such as the county and now maybe the city, document the public's return on investment in the program. And then down towards the bottom, the last paragraph, next to the last of that section, in addition to the quantitative reporting, Team Jefferson will appear on a quarterly basis before the commission to provide a briefing on the progress. And again, those are pretty much spelled out in the RCW.
What I'd like to see in the future, I mean, the presentation that Peter made this morning was excellent. There's these eight bullet points that are identified here on page 16, that have specifics such as number of workers trained, recruits and placed in jobs, and so on and so forth down through that list of eight. And I'd like to ask that, can you incorporate some of those specifics into the future presentations as identified on this page?
I think actually for record keeping, just so that, for auditor, purposes and stuff, maybe on the quarterly, two pager or whatever it takes, so we have something to put in the file as well.
Would the ADO report that I send quarterly to them be?
Probably.
Because I can send that to you, you can decide whether that's.
And we were talking during lunch here, Jim and I, that maybe, and there's been special circumstances this past year with your health issues and stuff, but we'll just kind of look out over the calendar year and schedule, you know, 15 minutes at a workshop every, you know, 3 months, you know, for the...
Peter, do you put out a newsletter?
Yes, we do. And all the commissioners are on it. It's sent out every other week, I believe, by email.
You have been getting it?
Yeah, I get it all the time.
I get it.
You know, it's all the classes that are coming up and things like that. And
it doesn't provide information on the 8 bullet points that Commissioner Kleinfeld has brought up with. It basically is a newsletter about what we're up to and
right.
what plans
okay.
and stuff.
So just so that I'm clear, so that we're understanding what we're going on with this little section here, we're going to get your quarterly report that you send in that has some of the numbers and stuff attached to it, correct?
Correct.
And then we're going to get you coming in for 15 minutes on a workshop?
Any time you like. If you want to do it quarterly, I can.
Okay.
We at one point in time talked about moving it to every 6 months, but that didn't get put into the agreement. So whenever you guys would like. That's fine.
I would suggest, you know, the written, you know, the quarterly thing, you just bring that with you and that becomes
yeah.
important. It gives us a chance to ask any questions.
That's all I have.
Okay.
I'd recommend we approve it.
Any other discussion on this? Okay, I move that we approve the contract as written.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. First reading, discussion only, operations report.
It's in your packet back up in the consent agenda. I just like to touch base with the commission every so often. These reports take quite a bit of staff time to put together, and I just want to make sure that it's information that the commission, you know, uses or wants, or is there any changes? Is there other information you'd rather have, or, you know, different formatting? Personally, I don't use all the information, but this is more for the commission. You know, I like the haul-outs and the ins and outs, because that gives you, especially looking back, you know, over the years, gives you a good feel for the ebb and flow of the business here. And Point Hudson, I like with the nightly guests, both RV and Morge, but I like the bar charts.
Frankly, I don't use the bar charts.
Me neither. I never look at them.
I don't either.
And what happens over time with different commissioners, you know, some commissioner wanted that, so we created it, but...
I hear you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice piece of paper.
But she doesn't do it. It's the yard guys and
okay.
Shannon that will get an hour of her life back.
So, I mean, I just look at the financials. I mean, that's, it's got everything right there. So.
Yeah. But the other charts, you like the ins and outs. And,
they do.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I want to add, and it's not going to take a lot of time because it's already being done, it's just not being reported, is the license plate numbers of the people that don't use, that don't pay for boat ramps. I mean, we don't need the license numbers here. We just need to keep track of them and get how many are not paying for boat ramp fees. And what they do now is when they go out there to make sure that everyone, when they put their pink tags on, there's a person that walks out there with Morris, so it's not adding any time or anything to the mortgage. They're already doing it. They go out and they check to see who's got the tag and who's got the thing in the drop box, and they go back in and figure them all out, and then they take that information and they use that to generate the pink tags. Well, right now the pink tags just get put on the door and that's it. Well, they could have a report generated with the license numbers of who's not paying. So then we can find out if somebody's there 3 or 4 times and we say, you know, we've been noticing you haven't been paying, but you're using facilities. We want you to pay so that we can have them improved and keep maintained. So,
but for you want names on the report?
No, just the number. Just how many people are
22 people that
right.
we think didn't pay for
exactly.
March or something.
Yeah, so we have an idea of the trends, you know. We'll see, for example, if our new signs are effective or not.
Do you want that as a formal report in the packet, or do you want us to say, provide that to you, or?
Well, I would like it. I don't care if you want it. You don't want it? You don't want it?
We can just put a line on the boat even operations report.
Yeah.
Just say boat ramp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll just add that. That might be easy
it's
to say.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Line of shame.
Yeah.
You know, the Alta Lodge does it. I might take my check out there. What will be on the hall of shame out there? All right.
Interesting, like looking particularly at ship in and out, we're year-to-date, and talking to Terry and company, I mean, it sure sounds like it isn't reflected here with February, but we are headed for some big numbers.
Yeah, I was down yesterday and the book is just cram full because we're just getting into the real heavy time of the year.
It's coming forward.
As a matter of fact, this one only shows two, which is misleading because it's lower than all the rest of the years as far as ship out. Yeah. So I guess I need to learn how to interpret that a little bit better.
It just shows two.
Well, yeah, just the month, that's just for the month, February. Not year-to-date. If you look at year-to-date, we're pretty average for year-to-date.
And of course, the impact of revenue is not so much the number of haul-outs, it's the
lay-days.
That's where we really make the money. So, if you're doing quick turnarounds, it looks like really a lot of business, but how come revenue's down? It's because they're not staying in the yard long enough. So. All right, that's what I was hoping for. Those two charts.
Okay. So the December 14th financials.
Amy.
So you have the December draft financials in front of you. At the end of December, our total revenues were 101% of what we budgeted. So we were at just over 4.9 million compared to 4.7 million last year. All departments, with the exception of Boat Haven Properties, Quilting, and Ramps, are showing an increase over the prior year. And then the yard revenues, those are coming in about 1.5 million this year compared to 1.4 million last year. Our expenses were about 10% over what we budgeted. So they were just under 4.3 million compared to almost 3.8 million last year. The largest increases there are coming within the salaries and benefits, contract services, legal auditing, operating supplies, the claims and damages, bank fees. Our bank fees continue to rise as we have more and more people using credit cards. We're paying those bank fees for that credit card usage. And then we had some significant bad debt write-offs last year as well. So repair and maintenance, that increased over the prior year due to mainly the break wall, that $58,000, the repair of the break wall. That was, we got insurance revenue back on that, but that was expensed in 2014 as well.
So if we got insurance back for it, then how come that repair and maintenance increase? In other words,
because we don't offset our expense with the revenue. The revenue is showing on the revenue side, but the expense still shows up on the expense side.
If we just immediately subtracted and erased it, then you wouldn't have the visibility of what expenses really are.
We have a net loss from operations after depreciation of $832,000. However, once you take into account the non-operating income and expense, our net income is $11,000. And just walking through, you can see the variances. I didn't necessarily go into a lot of detail on some of the variances. A lot of them, if I explained them in the consolidated, I didn't dive into a lot of detail on the individual cost centers. So I think that, they kind of speak for themselves. The permanent moorage at Boat Haven, you can see that it's over last year's, but it's still under budget. However, the monthly guest was over budget and over last year, and that's where we had more people assigned as monthly guests versus assigning those slips to permanent people, and we're changing that in 15. So within the miscellaneous revenue for the yard, that was the charge for the boat demos. We did a lot of demolition of the derelict boats. And again, that then corresponds to our bad debt write-off too. We didn't necessarily recoup all that money.
So we have to pay for the ones that we have come into our yard as Daryl Express, but the ones that DNR brings to us, they pay for those. right?
Yeah, these are just, these were our.
These were our votes that we demoed. So we had, we also had some that DNR paid for, correct? They paid for some demos?
I think DNR did some demos, yeah, and that wouldn't, that doesn't affect our expenses.
Right.
Do you have a, so the 19 that represents the miscellaneous revenue, and that's mostly boat?
Most of that was the boat demo, yeah.
Do you have on the line item for boat, the cost of that? Or is that?
Well, that's a big part of it.
Right.
You know, because what we charge for that, we then bill out to those individual owners.
Okay.
So.
What are we budgeting for now for this, for 2015 for miscellaneous revenue, on the expenses for, or no, excuse me, not, I'm jumping ahead here, actually. Go on, I'll ask the question here a little bit.
Okay. The expense side of that would be on the contract services though.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
The environmental, that came in about 103% of what we budgeted. The PTBH property revenue, that came in about 92% of what we budgeted. The lease revenue was down. We had one tenant that left and then it wasn't replaced, you know, integrated marine. And then that facility wasn't completely leased back out in 14. So that's a big part of that one.
So is that still not leased out, or is it?
It is now.
It's the old J&S building.
Quilting is 93% of budgeted revenues. Everything's just declining down in quilting. And then the ramps were at 87% of what we budgeted, about 2,000 less than last year. Point Hudson lease revenue, it's considerably over last year, still a little bit under the budget. And then the Point Hudson marina and RV, that came in at 107% of what we budgeted. Airport was 97%. So all of those combined at the bottom, we were 101% over what we budgeted.
Good guess, Amy.
Back on Point Hudson, the marina and RV this year is considerably up compared to last year. So we'll see how that tracks. I think a lot of that's just because we've had such good weather.
On the
and the fuel for now. And the fuel for now.
Hey, Amy, yes. On total Point Hudson, so we did 730 in 2013. You were at 680, just for grins. How come you didn't? How come you came in at 680 on the budget instead of something higher? Do you remember?
I don't.
Yeah.
Look at the reservation fee.
Yeah, reservation fee is
estimated 31,000. We only got 29,000, so there's a couple thousand there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a question regarding the reservation fee. We ended up writing off some bad debt on that a while back on that. Why is that? I mean, is you just make reservations, you know, you take a credit card number or you get a check or something. So how come we went backwards on that?
I don't know that we wrote off reservation fee. I think what some of the write-offs were for the nightly stays, so they only pay $7.
It was listed as a bad for reservation. That's how it was listed.
I'd have to go back and look unless their check bounced and we didn't get it back. I don't recall. I'd have to go back and look.
It's not that important.
So.
Yeah, they never refund.
We don't refund the reservation fees.
It's not. Yep. It's okay.
And then moving to the expenses. Overall, the salaries for 2014 were only 4% over. We did add another staff person there. The payroll taxes were down a little bit, and then the employee benefits increased about 9% there. And then within the contract services, you'll see that's 182%. So we were 82% over budget on that one. That's due to the boats being destroyed.
And that leads to my earlier question, that's where I was kind of jumping ahead to.
Okay.
What are we budgeted for 2015?
Overall contract services?
Get closer to having that number?
I hope so.
Not near as much of a variance?
We budgeted, yes, for 15, we budgeted $206,000, so. Again, there were just a lot of, you know, with the boats destroyed, the trees removed on Sims Way, the key codes, our IT, there was just a lot of additional contracts that came into play that were not from the budget.
At some point, we're gonna have a lot more boats to crunch up here.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I took a walk through the yard last week and just, not recording every vessel, but.
There's some big ones.
Yeah, there's some big ones, we just got stuck with a big blue one, you know, not too far from Dave Thompson's place, and there's a bunch of other boats out there that you just.
That big fish boat at Dave Thompson's place, but you're stuck with that thing too.
It's just a matter of time, man. There's not a lot of good looking boats in the yard.
The legal and auditing, that's 20% over budget, in part really to the litigation. Operating supplies was 31% over budget, pretty much spread throughout all the departments, just increased needs that all of the departments had, so.
We may want to look at that in a little more detail, exactly what the supplies are that are being used more now.
Yeah.
Well, one guy's using more paper, but the other one uses iPad.
Who that would be?
I'm not picking it, I'm looking at him, not you, Commissioner. Even though I see you're looking at paper too. So are you, you're all looking at paper. Why do you buy all these computers for?
A lot of it, I mean, I know we replaced some computers, there's just been a lot of media within the environmental, just a lot of that stuff, it all adds up.
So the media and the environmental wouldn't go into the environmental supplies?
It does, but this is overall. This is everybody combined on this report here, so.
So do we have to pay to replace the media in the stormwater RX?
Mm-hmm.
Now that was a media replacement in the, okay.
We're gonna have to do that every 2 years.
Just going down claims and damages, Smith Lowney and the CAECO settlement. That, and then
can we go back up to insurance 106? That insurance is like overall, it's not benefits, that's insurance for what? For liability for the port?
Yes. It's the overall auto liability, property, everything, yeah. What we pay out to Endurus, our risk pool.
Mm-hmm. So our deductible is $5,000, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And claims and damages, that's Smith Lowney and CAECO's, two big hits.
Yes.
But theoretically, we shouldn't have this year.
We don't have any other big hits lying in the wings, do we?
Not from a legal standpoint. Unless Carolyn isn't sharing anything with me.
That's not good.
And then here you can see just bank charges 57% over what we budgeted. And that's, again, just goes back to the more credit card use that we're getting. And I can see that going up even higher in the future, just as more and more people are paying.
We probably ought to discuss when we go through our budget process.
Right.
You know, most places will, you know, will accept your credit card, but it's another 2%, you know, to do that.
Well, we've got some, in the whale watch world, we've got some incredibly low rates for bank card.
Yeah, I remember having low rates available too through various like groups that I was involved with. I'm not sure if there's other options for accepting credit cards than what we're currently using, which, by the way, what are we currently using?
It's Front Stream. It's the program that's integrated within our marina program. So I think the rates are fairly low. We just have a high volume.
Yeah.
one person comes in with a $4,000 yard bill, but, you know, it's just, it's high volume on the credit cards. So then at the end of the year, where we come in at 10% over operating net before depreciation expense, so. And then on the next page, our overall non-operating revenues were 33% higher than anticipated. We had some grant revenues come in that we did not budget for, as well as increase in the state forest and timber excise. And then the non-operating expenses came in at about 95% of what we budgeted. So, and the differences there just due to the timing and some of the bond issue costs that had to be written off, as and some of the premiums and discounts associated with the bonds. So, so that is, I don't know if you want to walk through all of the individual.
No, I just don't read them fun at night.
Okay. So with this, I'm still working on putting together the final 2014 financial statement to send off to the state and send to everybody, but for the most part, this is what will be sent, unless there's some minor reconciliation items that come up during that process.
Nothing goes down.
Nothing goes down. Rarely.
Okay. Did you have something, Bertram?
Further report, maybe, thank you. I guess when I look at this, the devil's in the detail. Just to touch on the revenue, that Amy says that they will correct the mortgage this year by having less nightly guests and more permanent, you know? But you know, most of the revenue from the yards and the boat haven have been pretty static. And if it wasn't for the lay days in the shipyard, this report would look totally different. But that the lay days for the in the shipyard have really saved the revenue side of the marina and the boatyard here. And so it'll be interesting to see if with the increase in the costs, if that affects your revenue on that side. You might want to really take a close look at that. But on the expense side, I think this is where I would urge the commission to keep a closer look on this. In so many sectors, you've really gone over what you budgeted. And, you know, it may only sound like 4%, for example, on salaries, but 4% represents about $60,000 in just wages. And if you start going through and looking at all these overruns from what you budgeted, they really come out quite significantly. So, like this year, you budgeted $300,000 more for salaries and wages than you did last year. Well, if you go $100,000 over it like you did last year, now you're going to be even deeper in the hole. Similarly with contract services, and it goes down the line. So I think that I would implore the commission to look at not just the fact that these have gone over, but why they've gone over, and see if there's some way you can stop them from going over 215 over budgeted, so that you can come in a little bit a better profile, because this is not good. 10% is a lot. 10% is hundreds of thousands, $400,000 to $500,000.
Thank you, Bertram. Any other comments? Okay. So now the item C that I added, commercial use of the boat ramps. I guess that you sent off a...
You mean that?
Yeah. You sent off a letter to RCO to try to figure out where we stand legally. in the commercial use of the boat ramps. I know that when I came down on the weekend, the commercial, the commercial buyers were not at reverse at all. I said, you guys pay for parking here? Oh, no, no, we'll pay. We didn't have any mechanism or any signage or anything saying they needed to pay. And I come to find out that, well, Jim, did you do some research to find out we used to do this here?
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff here. First, let me, if I can open it here. I sent an email off to Marguerite Austin. She runs the grant program for RCO, where I sit on that committee. She does the boat ramps plus the big grant and several other grants. And I asked her, Marguerite, we have seen a significant increase in ramp use by the tribes. This is strictly commercial use. The buyers will show up with their trucks and scales and often block the head of the ramp while tribal boats come and go, offloading product. Lately has been sea cucumbers, which it was the other last week when I came in here at nighttime, and they were just crate after crate after crate of sea cucumbers coming up to the ramp. The trucks also take up parking spaces for the recreational trucks and trailers. The attached photo was taken just a few moments ago. The ramp is obscured by the buyer's truck, and the crab pots in the foreground are tribal as well. This is a different photo from that one. We've been policing the ramps, and usually they'll move the truck so the ramp isn't blocked, but they still take up parking spaces. One of my commissioner wants to charge a, quote, commercial ramp fee. The feeling is that with this heavier use, they should pay to help maintain the ramp and surrounding parking area. The question, is there any prohibition, parentheses, since we used and will use RCO funds for this ramp, from charging such a commercial fee? The fee would not just be for tribal use, but for any commercial use of our ramps. Thank you for your time. Hope all is going well. I got this morning. Hi, Larry. I can see you would want to address this issue for your ramp. I'll be talking to our executives and hope to provide you with some guidance on what we need and how to address it. I don't think there's any concern about you charging a fee. The question is more about the commercial use. Stay tuned. So we'll see where that goes. I expect I should have something maybe by the end of the week, first of next week. So it sounds like she's a little bit concerned that what recreational funds were invested into the ramp that now are being used for commercial purposes. Now, to that effect, yeah, my brain isn't totally gone. I remember right after I started here, going back to November 2000, we had an issue down at the Hadlock ramp, where the ramp was being blocked by commercial buyers, you know, with their panel trucks and everything. And we've got a number of complaints. And way back then, we didn't charge any ramp fees for anybody. And we started with a $5 fee for recreational users, which matched the state fee at the time. But we also came up with a resolution and some rules and regs on ramps. And this was adopted the 10th of May 2000 by the commission. I'll just probably give me more copies, only have the one. And at that time, the commission came up with some fees. They call them service rates. It was more of a cleanup damage deposit of $200, an annual use fee for commercial activity of $120, monthly use of $25, and daily use of $5. And again, $5 was our daily use for everybody. So that was back then. If you look at our current rules and regs, and I do have copies of this, on page 81 and 82, we actually talk about commercial use of our lock facilities. In rereading this, though, it needs to be reworked if, in fact, we want to continue this. It just, because sometimes they don't actually use the ramp. Like with the sea cucumbers last Tuesday night, I was watching them. The buyer's truck was parked here blocking the ramp. The boat, though, was moored down on the fuel dock. And they were using, you know, the two-wheel dollies to bring up these crates of sea cucumbers. So they weren't really using the ramp, but they were blocking use of the ramp, if that makes sense. You know, so we would have to, I think, reword all this to make sure we're trying to get after what we're after. Now, Tammy brought this over during lunchtime. We actually have a form for commercial folks to fill out. So we kind of have a lot of the stuff already. We haven't been enforcing it. I don't know if the fees that we adopted back in 2000 are still appropriate. What I would like the commission to do is discuss it. Is this something that we want to kind of reinvigorate and reinforce? Maybe staff could bring back, if so, staff could come back with a recommendation on a fee structure and some new words for your perusal and approval. Yeah, and of course, this is all contingent on what Marguerite comes back.
Yeah.
Even though that photo shows a lot of use yesterday, they were taking up a lot of parking spaces. They were not blocking the ramp itself. And I don't think any recreational boater or user would have been denied the ability to use it yesterday. It looks bad from the aerial, but we don't have a lot of recreational activity right now. There's still, you know, 15 or so parking spaces that were available. But if she says no commercial use whatsoever, well, that's going to be a political nightmare with the tribes, especially.
Yeah, do you know what the state policy is for the state parks? Because I know the commercial guys use the state parks.
That I don't know. That'd be a good question. I can throw that back at Marguerite, too, to come back with that.
And county parks, too, I think.
Yeah.
Because the one down near the bridge on the other side, on the Kitsap
side, that gets used heavily.
It's free use.
One thing I discovered last night at our fishing club meeting, we had a representative from they deal with tribes a lot, and I discovered that tribes have what they call usual and accustomed fishing grounds. And the interesting thing, and the reason why now I realize we see a lot of pressure here, is that if you go to Jamestown, Sklallam, they have this big circle whose eastern boundary is Port Townsend. Every tribe, even the Lummies, their southern boundary is Port Townsend. The tribes down in Olympia, their northern boundary, they all come up here and they want to, and there's just all these things overlapping Port Townsend Bay, which is why we end up having a lot of pressure here. So I think that we need to charge commercial fees because we need to, you know, get, I mean, they're using it and we need to maintain it. I think that what we need to do, though, is the facilities at Fort Worden, I don't think it'd be suitable because a lot of the boats are bigger. You know, so that Fort Worden,
they wouldn't let them do it either.
I don't know if they
would.
Well, that's the thing. Just because we've seen commercial use of some of these like county ramps and stuff, you know, is it because they allow it or because they just don't have the policies in effect to enforce or don't have the ability to enforce it or what?
What I was getting at is that, you know, it'd be silly to have to duplicate these access for recreational versus commercial. So I think that we need to, you know, inform RCO that nobody's going to be able to afford to do that. But then having said that, we need to figure out a fee structure to get these people to help when we have paying for this. And Jim and I were talking to some tribes earlier, and now I realize that every tribe in the entire area here considers Port Townsend to be some place they want to come and continue to utilize this resource, and this is how they get into it.
Yeah. It's interesting that the Salmon Club won't let them use that ramp. Never down before. Yeah. And never seen them down there. I wonder what the Salmon Club's doing.
That's private.
Well, actually, that ramp isn't private. The only thing that belongs to the Salmon Club is just the parking lot.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
The ramp is the street end, essentially.
Right. What do you think we should do, Jim?
Well, Stephen, I think a rate structure is appropriate. And I think it needs to be more than our recreational rate.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking per pound.
Okay. Yeah, but then we've got to collect it.
The buyers right there, they can give you what they put in their truck.
When you go talk to the buyers, and I had quite a discussion with them yesterday, these aren't people that are business owners you know, they're young guys that are just there hauling fish.
Just driving the truck.
They're not making business decisions.
Right.
So I think that a sticker, and if it's a $200 sticker that goes on the truck that says I'm allowed to be here and buy, that's a good thing, or $25 a day or something that would really...
And I don't want to, don't get me wrong about the tribes. In fact, I misspoke in my email to Marguerite, because when Jim, I already sent the email, and then Jim came back in from talking to him, ends up these are just regular commercial flyers. It's not tribal. That was all these crab pots. So,
Well, I'm having, the problem I'm having a bit with is these, this is tens of thousands of dollars that's moving across the property right here. And it's our facility, so.
What's the pound to get the crab out of there?
Totally. And so, you know, I don't, we can't give it to them for free. And I certainly think a $200 commercial use permit is totally out of line in terms of being too cheap. I just think, gosh, you're talking about a $250,000 resource there in that ramp, and we're not making a dime off it.
I agree with you on some of these, but the day before, the buyer was in a small van. So there are different quantities of buyers. Some of these guys are really big. They come from Puyallup and other places, and some of them are just local fish guys. So to charge a new day fish or a really small buyer the same amount you would charge a big buyer is tough, which would speak to your idea of a per pound. I'm just trying to figure out how to enforce that.
Yeah.
It'd be easier just to, you got a truck, it costs you $150 right. bucks or whatever besides the
rate. Tied to the gross vehicle weight of the
truck. Yeah, it's still monitoring, you know, my staff, I don't have enough staff to do what I gotta do now.
You know, or so. My axle.
Well, I'm thinking it's like SeaTac charging for landing fees. You know, every wheels touch the ground. Yeah, containers. Port of Seattle makes a chunk off every container that rolls across the.
I'd recommend if we want to do it, let's just do a flat fee to start and see where it goes.
It just kind of riles my gall that, you know, I drove in yesterday going, this is like a free for all.
Well, here's let's think about what we're saying here right now. We're talking about people coming from outside using port infrastructure that's been paid for by taxpayers and making a profit off of it. And we're saying they need to pay for that privilege. Now, do we have any other people coming from outside using port infrastructure that was paid for by taxpayers and making a profit off of it? Like the yard? Independent contractors. Mm.
Charter boats.
So,
what's that?
Charter boats.
Charter boats.
Charter boats.
Darn charter boats.
You know, we got to be selective and, you know, dump on one industry sector but not others. Or,
well, but in the charter boat world, I think I'm certainly paying my way to use the resources.
You are.
You get passenger fees. Yeah, that's what you're paying.
Right.
Yeah, but a 40 footer that's people keep up here and charter out. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, from an ethical standpoint, you know, it's, I'm all for charging commercial rates.
It wasn't real easy when we were charging some guys we don't even know. Now all of a sudden you made it. Bertram, did you have something?
I have just one comment. It won't solve the problem of blocking the ramp. So it would be good if you could find a spot that would say commercial only. And maybe there you could monitor and charge for, like, behind this building. If the guys are walking up the dock with it anyway, they can walk 10 more feet. And you know better than I know where to go. But
don't get me wrong, they were, you know, when I was in here Tuesday night for another meeting, just happened to see all this activity. Yeah. So I came over and looked at them. Once I made them aware that, hey, you know, at that time at night, 8 o'clock at night, who was going to use the ramp? Why nobody? But they moved. You know, they just went, you know.
You had a sign, proper signage, and said this is the place where commercial park.
The other way to look at this is if you do get the no from RCO that this is a no-go, it isn't any great loss to us. I mean, we're not making any money off of it now.
No, it'll just be the political issue of trying to...
But that's really not us. I mean, we're kind of, it's between the state and the tribe. Let them go to...
It is economic development for our local fishermen to sell their wares locally. if they, if we lose that ability, then where are our local fishermen going to go?
Right.
So we got to.
Do we have a lot of local fishermen that
are
using?
These guys are locals. They're out there fishing. They're using it as a selling.
Yeah, my neighbor lives across the street from me. Made a lot of money last night.
Yeah.
John.
And what is RCO?
Recreational Conservation Office.
They're granting it.
Do they own the ramp?
No, they're a state agency. They're the ones that are giving us $300,000+ to have another lane to it.
But they fund part of it?
Most of it.
But does that mean at all they can dictate what happens there?
Yes. That's why I sent the email.
Contract with the grant.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's why I sent the email.
It would mean it is a public port.
Yeah.
I understand Jefferson County taxpayers pay.
Now, this money comes from recreational boaters to be invested back into recreational boating. That's their.
But then, instead of this becomes an exclusive recreational boating ramp in a public port.
Yeah.
So even one of our local marine trades really technically could not haul a boat out on the ramp to go work on it.
Yeah, I don't know. That may be all a little too far, but it's, yeah. Yeah.
I guess we've got to figure out what far is, huh? That's what you can tell us. Yeah, basically, just so to answer your question, the way that the funds get allocated is that the gas tax that's paid on boats that don't go on the highway, the portion of the highway funds goes into the RCO because the boat doesn't ever use the highway, and then that's basically back to put in boating infrastructure for recreational boaters. Because most of the commercial guys actually get their money back. So they figured it was a recreational boater that was paying for this big fund that then puts in the ramps, which is why it's recreation instead of commercial.
So I know down at the Port of Bremerton, they came to the RCO, again, I'm on that committee, wanting to redo a ramp. The ramp, the public ramp, but it was adjacent to the Safe Boat Company that builds these high-speed watercraft for Coast Guard and other security personnel. And they were using the ramp on a daily basis to put in their boats to go out and do sea trials and everything else and take them back out. And we refused the grant.
Mm.
Saying that if Safe Boat wanted to use the ramp, then Safe Boat needed to make those improvements. Mm.
I can't see how they can make an exception like that. I mean, what about the six-pack guys that come out here on a regular basis, and they have their charter boat, you know, and they got six guys in their boat, and they're going out for the derby or whatever. There's a lot of that. So, I mean, they can't.
And you know darn well we're not.
I mean, that's recreational use, recreational fishing. It's a commercial operation that's actually being incurred.
Well, we'll be informed when we get the response from RCO.
Well, why don't we take a look at some of the language that here and maybe tweak it a little bit. And
we also can do a survey on what other jurisdictions might charge for commercial use so we can get a rate schedule. We haven't had a chance to call around and see what other.
I bet you Port of Bellingham and those guys are all connected.
Whatever it is.
And it also, and when we're doing that survey, we should make sure to see how they funded the ramps, to see if they're charging a commercial fee with using a ramp that was funded by RCO money, and they just didn't bother letting know.
This, I'm looking at this, there's a couple things we could work on this, like the there's no company information here, as far as.
That was developed over 15 years ago,
it's just seems
before I got here.
Yeah.
So.
Let's.
Okay.
Bring it back.
Staff comments.
Nice to see you all.
Hey.
Mister.
You need to pay Connor more money. Last 2 weeks ago, he showed up with only one sock and no tie.
What?
Yeah.
Is that true?
It is true.
Got up a little early, come home, did he?
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
Two. A couple of things. Yesterday, Sue and I attended the contractors forum that the city puts on every year. It was well attended. They had 60 signed up for it. It looked like they get close to that there, 50 or 60, and had a good briefing from Mel and I on prevailing wage and requirements that contractors have to do that when you work with local governments. And towards the end, I had 5 minutes to kind of run through our stuff and some of the types of projects that we do and the few projects that we've already got on the radar for this year. So it was a good session. CEO breakfast tomorrow with the fellow CEOs. And we actually talked about a little bit with the timber tax. You should have all gotten this letter via email from DNR. There's a session. I don't ever remember them doing this before. They'll be briefing the county commissioners on March 16th at 2 p.m. And they said they're going to have a special focus on junior taxing districts, of which we're one, because we get some of that timber tax. So they're going to talk about the forecast, and I sent it to you too. So if you want to go, let Sue know, and it should be kind of interesting. And that's all I have. Executive session on real estate.
All right. Okay, now this time, I'm not going to go over public, I miss public comments every time because I just figure staff and then goes to commission, but this time, public comments.
Thank you for remembering us.
I remember. Okay. Since we have none, commissioner comments.
Done. So I had a little chat with Kathleen Kluhr here a while back about the restrooms. It was kind of timely. She wanted to see what they looked like. I went in the men's room, nobody's in there, so like, I come on in. She's like looking around. I was like, it's not too bad. She, you know, and we talked about, you know, some of the shenanigans that go on in the after hours and so on. And then she went into the women's restroom, and there was.
She didn't win?
No, I didn't. And she come back and she goes, well, this is kind of timely because apparently it looked like somebody perhaps may have been homeless. Was in there on the floor with all her belongings surrounding her. And she was just kind of hanging out, you know, in a...
Really?
Yeah. She said, Kathleen described, it looked like she had her all personal belongings. And she was just...
Welcome to Port Townsend.
There, you know. And Kathleen came out, she goes, you know, if I was a recreational boater coming to Port Townsend to visit, and I'm going to go use the facilities, I'd be really uncomfortable with that. I'm glad it was kind of opportunistic that she saw that. So, anyway, she wanted to see some numbers. She asked if Port staff could put together some data, you know, what's the expense for the restroom facilities, what's been some of this, you know, strange history that's been going on, you know, maybe get some police reports, some reports from Pete Parrish and whatever. So I asked Larry, and Larry's...
And the quarter.
Yeah, what we've done is Sue did a public records request to the police department. The problem is they can tell us how many times they responded to the port. So that's not just restroom, that's, you know, the dead guy out here in his boat and everything else as well. Amy's got the cost figures for this restroom and the gathering for Point Hudson, which is a little more difficult because utilities are shared with other facilities down there, so it's just an estimate. And I asked Larry Ozzie to go back through 2014 and give me all the vandalism costs and everything, so he hasn't gotten back to me yet on that. Like, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had the coin machine trashed down at Quilson. You know, so it's staff time, it's a new machine, it's, you're estimating how many quarters were in the machine when it was taken.
She recognized how vital that particular facility is to a lot of folks that are struggling out in South County that are either off the grid or homeless or whatever, and that's it. That's the only place publicly accessible, you know, to go in where it's warm and, you know, take a shower and, you know, deal with personal hygiene and so on. So anyway, she understood that it's a problem that right now is really not being dealt with. Aside from what the port's providing. And so she asked for this information, and then once she gets that, then there'll be another get-together.
That's great, Brad. That is good. So, yeah, good job. Thank you.
So, anyway.
Yeah, one of the things, the only other showers I'm aware of is out at the fairgrounds. The county runs those, but they have them off-limits to everybody except RVers who use a campground at the fairgrounds. And so many of the users are not necessarily homeless, they're off the grid. and every morning I see them. They drive here to take their shower and do their laundry. You know, if they can drive here, they could drive out to the fairgrounds just as easily if the county would open those showers. So just that one move would lessen some percentage of our use. So,
The other thing I had was the Marine Trades meeting had last week, and they're still asking about the PSAC committee. And so it's at some point, hopefully, we're going to have some answers for them as to when this is going to be re-energized and what the new process is going to be.
And we're still planning, as we talked before, about a May session to talk strategic plan and PSAC and all that. So
yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, and I don't have any. So we will now, let's see, here's my little script. We will now be convening executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110C, which is real estate. It will last about how long?
20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes?
20.
20 minutes. Okay, during this time, we ask the audience to vacate. And if for any reason this executive session is expected to last longer than anticipated, we will notify you by announcing the time outside the commission chambers. Decisions are not expected following the conclusion of this executive session.